I am all about self-care these days, and guess what? Body care is also self-care. Taking care of your body is a moment to practice mindfulness, self-love, and compassion, all things that I am fully behind right now. That's why I'm so glad to share a promo from one of our new sponsors, Osea. I'm obsessed with their Mega Moisture Duo that provides instant firming hydration and delivers a full body glow. It makes me feel so confident and refreshed to walk out the door with unbelievably glowing skin. And there's nothing more I love than getting premium skincare products at an incredible value. So, show your skin some love with clean, vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide and use the code DATEABLE at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com and use the code DATEABLE for 10% off.
The Dateable Podcast is an insider's look into modern dating that the Huffington Post calls one of the top 10 podcasts about love and sex. On each episode, we'll talk to real daters about everything from sex parties to sex droughts, date fails to diaper fetishes, and first moves to first loves. I'm your host, Yue Xu, former dating coach turned dating sociologist. You'll also hear from my co-host and producer, Julie Krafchik, as we explore this crazy dateable world.
Hello. Hi. Hey. What's up? Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Dateable Podcast. You've heard this intro over and over again, but here we are back again for another episode. And we are always committed to bring you the best dating content where we go deep, 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 deep penetration dating.
Unless you're new, and then in that case, we welcome you. And I love that we're starting with deep penetration dating. So,
you know, it's going to be a good episode.
Yes, it is going to be a good episode. That's for damn sure.
We're just so excited to bring you new seasons. And at the top of the season, we always have these themes and we talk about, like, you know, some of the patterns that we see. So it's whenever we come back with a new episode, we get really excited. It's like we have this gift and we can deliver it to you. And as you unwrap with your years, that sounds really strange.
Unwrap with your ears. Love it.
You know what I mean. I do want to, before we get to, you know, the intro of the episode, I do want to add an addendum to our conversation from last week where we made these gender generalizations and we, you know, caveated with that women plan more and men plan less, and it's our
two
own
weeks
personal
ago,
take.
Or 2 weeks ago.
Or 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago. Seemed like last week, and it's been lingering in my mind, and I just want to redeem my partner because I realize, holy shit, we're about to go on this 4-year anniversary vacation for 2 weeks, and it's a surprise, and he planned the entire thing. And I'm very grateful for him putting in all the work. And I don't know why this completely escaped my mind when we were having this conversation, because the man literally gave me, you know, an image board with all the clues so I know what to pack for what kind of weather. He booked all the hotels, all the flights. Like, come on. Okay, give this man a break. Not all men don't plan, because obviously my partner is doing all the planning for this trip.
I do love that you forgot this as in the middle of this, because you knew you were going on this trip.
Yes. But
yes. It's one of those things, we've talked about this before, and I don't want to undermine what he's doing at all, because I think it's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. But sometimes the grand gesture, like the little things, do kind of add up over time too. Like the grand gesture is incredible, but we do kind of like fixate on the day to day, which isn't right by any means. But it's kind of funny that you just like forgot this huge grand gesture and then focused on like the everyday weekend.
I think it's because my partner is so different than anyone I've ever dated. And I almost take it for granted how different he is. The man, when we moved into this apartment in LA, he had an Excel spreadsheet and a timeline of when we should get the furniture, when we should get the, you know, utilities up by. Because he's like a project manager, really, in his day-to-day. Yeah. And so he's always planning. So I have to really give credit where credit's due. I do have... a wonderful partner who actually loves to plan. And it drives him crazy that I don't plan as much as he does.
Oh, my God.
Because, you know, it's making me complacent because he plans so well and he plans all the time.
I feel like that's a good segue, though, into this episode because, you know, we talk about really just how all of our relationship history builds on each other and, you know, sets us up for that next partner. And sometimes we think of these past people as, you know, roadkill or the people that didn't make it along the way or a waste of time. Even it sometimes, you know, brings up some of these stereotypes that we have, and that might not even be present day of what we're doing, but also in the fact that, you know, a lot of times we think that, especially when something ends, like we'll never find it again. But I know from past experience, usually every relationship I've had has gotten more and more serious, and I've become more and more myself, and I've become more and more, you know, the partner, being the partner I want to be, and then having the partnership that I want to have. And I look back and I'm like, I'm so glad some of those early relationships didn't work out. And that's not just because they were not the right person, but I wasn't the right person either. So it's really important to remember that, you know, some of our stereotypes or the things that we're scared about because we've been hurt before, like that doesn't mean that's going to be the future, because we're constantly learning from all our relationship experience.
We're kind of like babies exploring the world when we're dating people. And in those early stages, you're just like, do I like this? Do I not like this? And it's good to have those subjects, you know, for you to at least have an opinion about. And I'm glad that we're at a place now, at least in this place of Dateable Podcast, both Julie and I have a pretty strong stance on dating and what we like and what we don't like in a partnership. But I think that took years of our own past relationships and also just talking to other daters and learning from that.
Yeah. In today's episode, we have a comedian, Des Bishop, who
was
a delight to talk to. And, you know, I didn't know how deep we were going to get. You know, with comedians, you think a lot of times it's going to be light and funny. And there were definitely those moments in it. But we got pretty deep. We got pretty deep into, you know, the relationship we've had with others and also the relationship we have with ourselves, which is clearly a recurring theme on this podcast. And, you know, one of the reasons we found him too, I mean, we'd been seeing some of his comedy, but also his now wife was on the Bravo show Summer House.
Oh, yeah.
And she also has a podcast that's pretty popular. Hannah Berner is her name. And I never had seen Summer House before the interview with him, but I had heard about it and had friends that watched it.
I caught up with it.
It's, you know, it's not, but it's pretty funny. It's pretty interesting. It reminds me of Real World, but in 2022 or 20.
Right.
I think it started like a couple years ago. So basically, like, they all go to a Hamptons house and get fucked up and hook up with each other. And, you know, there's a lot of relationships that have stemmed from it. And I actually watched the episode where Des came to the Summer House.
Oh.
So that was kind of funny to watch it after talking to him.
Well, their relationship started while she was filming Summer House, right? So there's a lot of variables at play that could have deterred their relationship, but it didn't because it ended in marriage. But I really like this conversation because we always ask about what are some of the defining moments in your life that inspired you to choose this direction. So that's like a question for all of you listening too. It's like, what are the defining moments in my previous relationships that have directed me to where I am today?
Yeah. And I mean, I think some of you might be saying, well, I'm not on reality TV or I'm not a comedian, but this conversation relates to everyone. And it lets us reflect back on our relationship history in those pivotal moments, like you were just saying, UA. And I think even talking to Des, there were moments that maybe he wouldn't have equated to be so essential in meeting his now wife. But looking back and looking at like how, you know, we talked a lot about the pandemic and just slowing down in life. And we've all had those moments of reflection to get clear on what matters. And that stuff has been time in, time out, one of the pivotal moments that sets someone up to meet their person.
Every day, I thank all of my partner's exes for setting him up for me.
Yes.
Thank you, women, for doing the things to get him ready for me. And I hope he feels the same way about my exes. It's not that it was a time wasted. It was perfect timing, actually, for those relationships to happen so that we can meet and be right for each other.
Yeah, there was probably some girl that called him out for not planning enough, and now he's making Excel spreadsheets.
Precisely. That is exactly what happened. And so now that's an area he works on, and I freaking love it.
And you are reaping the benefits. I love it.
Yes, I am.
One of the things that we talk about, too, in this episode, and I feel like, Yue, this is maybe one of your favorite terms. When I think of you, this term I think of, because you always say it, of doing life together. I remember before I was in a serious relationship, I don't think I really understood the extent of it.
Yeah.
Like, I think I didn't realize the difference between dating someone and doing life with someone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talk about it in this episode that a key time that they met was over the pandemic. And that's actually similar to your story, too. You were dating before the pandemic, but the pandemic changed the dynamics of your relationship, that you weren't just dating anymore, but actually doing the stuff that, I don't want to say like domestic tasks, but all the stuff that doing life means.
Yeah.
And I think when you're not in it, you think it's just that, like the cooking and cleaning. But for me now, I feel like some of the best moments I have are just like sitting on the couch watching reality TV or some sort of
island.
Summer house or whatever. No, you know what I mean? Though, like just doing nothing with my partner, but that is the majority of life, is doing nothing. It's hilarious to me that dating is so judged on the types of dates that we do and the activities. Mm-hmm. Not saying that you shouldn't keep doing that. Absolutely is a reason why married couples with children have date nights. That doesn't go away. But as things progress, usually like 80% of the time, you're not doing that stuff. Why wouldn't you want to find someone that you enjoy doing the 80% of nothing together?
Yeah, your relationship is based on the daily moments and not based on the peaks and valleys.
Yeah.
Right? If we only base relationships on peaks and valleys, that is a very toxic, tumultuous relationship, and you want to get the fuck out. And it's these everyday moments that are, I just feel so grateful for. In my journal every day, I change my journal prompts like every quarter, but my current one is I have my agenda for the day and then I have a reward at the end. And I realize that more often than not, my reward is watching TV with my partner or having a nice meal with my partner. It's like something so mundane, yet so enjoyable. And I feel like I earn it at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think the other part of relationships we don't talk about enough is just having the fact that it's just fun. It's like almost, I describe it that I have a sleepover with my best friend every night.
Aww.
And you know, we don't think about that though. It feels like this tumultuous achievement that we need to get, but it's just the day-to-day simple pleasures. And when you're with the right person, I think this also is kind of a throwback to this building on relationships. I think in the past, it was always so hard, it felt. And it took me building on those relationships and getting clear with my own needs too, and not being afraid to say them. I would say that's the one thing I did different. This relationship, there was no holding back at all. But that was because I learned, right? And from the old stuff. But I think getting to a place where you can meet this person that it doesn't feel so difficult and you're just genuinely enjoying the life you're building together, that to me is what a relationship really means.
So for all of our single listeners, before you say, shut the fuck up, I'm trying to do that. Why are you guys talking about relationships? I think this is a good learning, though, because we always hear many of you are looking for that initial chemistry spark, butterflies in the stomach. But then ultimately, you all say, I want to skip the beginning part and just get to the relationship part already. I want to get to the, you know, on the couch, Sunday night, cooking, you know, watching TV, eating our dinner. So instead of looking for that initial, I don't know, adrenaline and dopamine hit, maybe it's a dating for these life moments and stop focusing so much on that chemistry and the spark and focus on, is this someone I can just do life with?
Yeah. And I think I don't want to ever, you know, discourage people for coming up with really cool date ideas. And I think it's freaking amazing that your partner is planning this surprise vacation. So I don't want to ever say that that shouldn't be part of dating. It absolutely should. And that's what, you know, for the two of you, 4 years in, you're still doing stuff like that. So it's it still has a time and a place. But we do see a lot of people getting really hung up in the early stages of planning the perfect dates and coming up with the activities. And that can be a thought process, but I don't think it should be like the number one concern you have at the beginning. The beginning is all about connecting and just making someone feel like you've known them all your life, essentially, and feeling calm around them, feeling good about yourself around them. It, in theory, the best dates like don't have to be anything spectacular if that's there.
Oh, so true.
Yeah. But speaking of good date activities, before we close this out, I am going tonight to the Empire Strips Back, which
is
the Star Wars burlesque parody. So you all heard me right. The Empire Strips Back.
Yes.
I was definitely like, at the beginning when I first heard about it, skeptical, but the more people we talk to of how amazing it is. So it feels like a good thing to note on Dateable. We've got burlesque show and Star Wars. What could go wrong?
Find a partner who will go do a burlesque Star Wars show with you.
Yep.
Yeah, report back, definitely.
Will do. Okay, well, before we get into it with Dez, let's do a few announcements. At Dateable Podcast is our Instagram. You know, share this episode with a friend. I feel like we can all open the conversation of reflecting back on our relationship histories. Heck, go to brunch and chat it out with them.
Heck.
And, well... Go to brunch with them and chat it out. And while we're at it, tune in every Sunday for our brunch talk episodes. Okay, before we get into it, let's hear a message from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Aurelia. We are excited to pamper ourselves with some high-quality lingerie. Yay!
Oh my God, I could not wait to open my box.
I know. Well, Aurelia is a premium curated lingerie and sleepwear subscription box with 100% 5 out of 5 client ratings.
Yeah, and I love that you filled out a style quiz about your sizes and preferences, and then a dedicated stylist curated 2 to 3 pieces of lingerie or sleepwear per box.
How fun is it having beautiful lingerie delivered to your doorstep? And I'm loving everything in my box, so it's hard for me to choose a favorite piece. I don't know about you.
Same, but I am gravitating to this lace bra underwear set that's black, that's sexy, but also comfortable.
Comfort is key. The set I'm wearing at night now, it's this floral cami and shorts set. It's very light. It's perfect for the summer, and it is, oh my God, comfortable. And shipping's free for the US, UK, and Canada, not to mention Aurelia is owned by a beautiful and fabulous woman of color. For a limited time, Dateable listeners get 10% off their first monthly or seasonal box.
Yes, just enter the code Dateable10 at checkout. Go to AureliaBox.com. That's Aurelia, AURELIA, box.com, and enter the code Dateable10 for 10% off.
This episode is brought to you by the book Twice a Quinceañera by Shamile Saeed Mendez. Instead of losing the deposit on her wedding venue, a jilted bride decides to throw herself a quinceañera, times two, for her 30th birthday. 1 month short of her wedding day and her 30th birthday, Nadia Palacio finds herself standing up to her infuriating, cheating fiancé for the first time in, well, ever. But the same courage doesn't translate to breaking the news to her Argentinian family. She's hyperventilating before facing them when she glimpses a magazine piece about a Latina woman celebrating herself with a second quinceañera, aka Sweet 15. And that gives Nadia a brilliant idea. With a wedding venue already paid for and family from all over the world with plane tickets, this all sounds awesome. Until she discovers that the man in charge of the venue is none other than her college fling that became far more than a fling. Full of exuberant heart, Twice a Quinceañera is a pure delight for every person who needs to be their own biggest fan and who dreams of a second chance of first love. Find out more about the book at KensingtonBooks.com or wherever books are sold.
Okay, let's hear it from Dez.
So So we have our guest, Des Bishop, with us today. He is an Irish-American comedian, 46 years old, lives in New York and Dublin, originally from New York, but then you moved to Ireland when you were 14. Is that what happened?
Yeah. I went to boarding school in Ireland when I was 14.
That's so cool.
I sort of never left. It wasn't the plan, but it kind of happened that way.
And then now you're back, sort of. And you recently got married to a fellow comedian and reality TV star, Hannah Berner, and which is a romance that blossomed during the pandemic quite unexpectedly. So let's get to that a little bit later. But first, we want to hear about just what was your love life like before Hannah?
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, I was 44 when I met Hannah, so that's like a loaded question. Des Bishop, episode 1, part 6. But anyway, I mean, you know, I've had quite a few long-term relationships, but I've also had, you know, periods of time where it's quite casual. 而且你可能不知道,我也住在中国,我也有一个中国女朋友,你知道,以前有中国女朋友。
Oh, 以前有,不是现在有。
Oh my God, what is happening right now?
Des just spoke perfect Mandarin to me, and he told me that he has a Chinese girlfriend that he corrected and said
I forgot to add a love.
My grammar was off. You know, the little things. Like you just change a little bit of your tone. You either have two girlfriends now or you had a previous Chinese girlfriend.
This is a different story than we thought we were getting into.
I saw you grow up in Beijing, but I lived in Beijing for 2 years. And that was before Hannah. My last serious relationship was actually with a Chinese girl, Shun Shun. And honestly, that could have got further, but she didn't want to emigrate. And obviously, you know, she's a Baling Ho. She's a post-80s kid. So she's like a little empress. And her parents weren't too keen on her disappearing over to the States with some comedian. It's not even like a thing over there. That didn't work out. I mean, fortunately, I guess it didn't work out. But that was my last serious relationship before Hannah. And then I had been engaged, a broken engagement in 2008. So I've had quite a broad story. So you'd have to throw a dart at the dartboard and pick a period of time, and I could tell you some stories.
Oh, we will be doing that. Don't you worry. Okay, so when did your last serious relationship end with the Chinese woman?
I went to China in 2013, but actually I didn't meet her till 2014. And then it ended up getting quite serious. But after my second year, I had to leave. I had like a full career. Like I'd left behind quite a lot to spend that time in China. And I mean, I really did love it. I wasn't dying to leave, but I did have to get back to doing stuff. Mm. And originally we had intended to like, you know, to long distance it and then to have her begin to like spend more time. But she never really let go of the idea that possibly I would give in and maybe live in China. Listen, love is a powerful thing. I would sacrifice a lot for love, but I was honest from the get-go with her. And like a lot of our arguments were that she was going to be the one that was sacrificing more than me. But I said, I know, I mean, I completely understand that. But in my mind, I thought that she would grow to embrace the Western life. But in the end, she didn't want to do it, which is totally fine.
So how long did this relationship last? Like when did it end, like relative to meeting Hannah?
Oh, it ended quite a bit before Hannah. It ended, okay. I guess it ended mid-2017.
Okay.
I mean, we were like in denial for like a year.
Yep.
Like it was like, I'd say it was a full year from when I met her parents to when we finally like pulled the plug. But we did not see each other a lot for that final year. But we talked like every day. We chatted every day. And what we had was great. Like I loved it. I really didn't think that it was going to work for that final year. But I was also very happy to keep it going the way that we were keeping it going, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's hard because like you didn't break up because it wasn't working. It's just there were so many barriers logistically, essentially, to overcome, which sometimes can be the hardest ones.
And the last time I talked to her was at the beginning of the pandemic, quite a few years after we broke up, but she still wasn't married. It was like she must be under ferocious pressure because that's the other cultural differences.
It's a leftover.
Chinese women, Shengnu. But I did a show about it years ago, but I did a whole thing about the Shengnu. But I feel like the leftover women thing is faded to a degree in the big cities, but still, I guess she's like 31 or 32. Like she must be under big pressure now if she's not married. I haven't talked to her since the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah, we did an episode with a fellow comedian, Bernice E. Have you heard of her?
I don't know her now.
She has a whole thing about leftover women.
About the Xiongnu?
Yeah, that's like it's really good. She's really funny.
Oh, which is great, you know, because it is fascinating. I did like a live stand-up show about my time in China, and I had a thing about the Xiongnu. And I went to like the marriage market. And actually, my mother visited me when I was in Shanghai, like right towards the end of my first year. And I went to the marriage market with her. And that was like really intense because when you're there with your parent, people take you like a lot more seriously. So my mother actually got married.
What is the marriage market for someone that is unfamiliar?
Julie, I told you about these. Where all the single people go.
Oh,
and
yes.
You like, I don't know about the one you went to, but it's like hundreds, sometimes thousands of people show up.
Oh, yeah. The one in Shanghai is humongous. Humongous. So yes.
Like I don't even know how people find each other, but you basically post all your stats, how tall you are, how much you make, do you have a house, car, all of that.
So it's like a non-digital Tinder profile, basically.
Kind of. But then in real time, you've tried to find your match. And it's not just about dating. It's like marriage.
Yeah.
You're finding your match to get married.
But imagine if your Tinder profile was run by your parents. That's really what the marriage market's like. Because it's mostly parents and grandparents, and they're like, they're wheeling and dealing. The amount of dads that rang me, because I gave my number to some guys, you know, because some of them were like quite happy. They're like, oh, this Lao Wai, this foreigner, well, you know, like seems to be doing all right. He's an option. Especially like some of them, their daughters are in their 30s. They're like desperate, you know, they're like, I don't care. She can go to New York. I just need to get this girl married off. I'm sure there must be marriage markets in like Flushing Main Street and, you know, like real big Chinatowns in the States. I'm sure there must be, but I haven't found one that's like very obvious.
They wouldn't have it in the US because it's human trafficking. It'd just be illegal. But
Xiangqin. I think the word is Xiangqin.
Xiangqin.
Yeah, Xiangqin. Yeah. Like that's like setting people up.
Like a matchmaking market.
Yeah.
Matchmaking market.
So we're going to all your phases of life. Okay. So this is your Beijing phase.
I didn't mean to drop that on you, but
this is
saw you lived in Beijing till you were 8. So I was like, of course, I got to bring this up.
So you go back to Ireland after this, or are you in New York at this time? Now that you're like, I need to get back into my career, you know, this relationship isn't going to work.
Yeah. Oh, you know, honestly, China was really the reason why I ended up sort of coming back to New York a lot more, because really I was like 37 when I went to China. So from 14 to 37, I was really in Ireland pretty much full time. But after like 2 years in China, and you're like not just doing comedy to like expats from all over the world, but you're doing comedy in Mandarin, and it just felt quite large, or like it was like very eye-opening. I love Ireland. I mean, I didn't want to let go of Ireland completely, but I did think that I should really expand my horizons a little bit. So that was actually part of the part of the attraction back to New York. Plus my mother started getting sick, which was like also part of it. So I had a couple of different reasons for starting to spend more time in New York. Plus, honestly, I wanted to keep up my Chinese, and it was just so much easier to do that in New York. So originally I actually moved back. I'm from Flushing, Queens. So originally I moved back to Flushing because Flushing is now mostly Chinese people. So a lot of the coming back to New York was connected to my time in China.
Interesting. Mm. And then were you dating like when you got back, or like what was life like before you met Hannah? Were you like ready for a serious relationship, or was kind of just happened?
You know, it's hard to know. I mean, after we did the long distance, then we broke up. I mean, I just went to a period where I just was like in a lot of like not long-term, you know, like just pretty casual relationship. I mean, you know, whatever. I went gray and got into the Silver Fox category and stand-up comics. There's some, if you look around, it's a pretty like ugly stand-up comics doing well with the ladies. I don't know what it is about making people laugh, but I went through like a phase of just meeting like a lot of people, I guess. And it's an easy enough job to meet people. So I was like, I had an active dating life. That's probably the best way to put it. But nothing very serious. Plus, honestly, I was between New York and Dublin. You know, I would often like have something, you know, decent, you know, like I'd be happy with somebody, but then I'd be like disappear for 4 or 5 months.
Right.
You know, I could think of numerous people that I met that I actually quite liked, but it was just like, it didn't work out. You know, like I'd go off to Dublin. By the time I came back, they were with somebody else. You know, and honestly, my mom was sick. There was like so much going on. So it kind of suited me to have like non-committed relationships. It was just, period of time in my life.
And were you thinking that you would eventually get into a relationship again, or was marriage something you were working working towards?
I probably did, but I did start to move away from the kind of like, I want to have kids zone. Because I was very broody, particularly after my father died. I was like very like into having kids. You know, I had this like sense of the importance of family and it's all that matters at the end. You know, that was like really like, honestly, like a decade of, you know, really feeling like a sense of family. And when you're in China, they remind you all the time that that's all that matters. Yeah. So like I was bombarded with messaging for like, you know, for 2 years about how I need to get that sorted. But, when I came back to New York and I was like, you know, just like living my life, I suddenly was like still totally open to marriage, but also like starting to move away from the thought of having kids because I was getting older and I just was suddenly like, you know what, maybe it's just like a life of no kids, which kind of lends itself also to like, if I don't meet the woman of my dreams, if I don't meet my life partner, that's also fine too. But I didn't honestly put that much thought into it. I was just kind of bouncing from situation to situation because there was a lot going on, like with the family illnesses and you know what I mean? There was just like a lot. So really, it wasn't like high on my priority list. And then the world shut down.
Yeah.
In fairness, I even before I had been seeing somebody like before the pandemic, we had actually just broke up. Pandemic would have killed it anyway, but we had just broken up. And, you know, I was having all these like fine relationships that just didn't end up getting to like the next level. But when the pandemic hit, you know, my mother had been dead just over a year. It was like this enforced solitude. Mm-hmm. So that was like quite a strong cathartic time to just like clear the head. Because, you know, stand-up comedy is an easy life to distract yourself. You know, years can disappear and you realize, wow, I haven't really checked in with myself for quite a long time. You know, you get quite obsessed with your work and, you know, there's a lot of highs and a lot of lows, but there's a lot of praise. You know, your ego can get stroked for so long that you forget to check in with like the deeper parts of yourself. So the pandemic kind of like, you know, hit me with an enforced meditation time, which was great for me because, you know, I was grieving and, you know, now that both parents are gone. So like, I just suddenly forced to just like really take it all in. That was very healthy for me, actually. It's very, very lucky, really, because, you know, I'm doing comedy since 1997, you know, so it was really like the first time I properly slowed down. It was in July of that time, after that solitude, that I met Hannah. And I was definitely much more open to a deeper, more meaningful relationship when I met her. But we did also like connect quite immediately, but we didn't actually like become a couple immediately because we had a few, well, she had a few TV things to deal with first. But in terms of like my own personal sense of feeling that something was different, I felt something was different. I'll say that it's Hannah and it was meant to be. Other people might say, well, it was timing and it was fortuitous because I had, you know, the pandemic, you're less distracted and, you know, then you're more present. You allow yourself to feel it. You're more vulnerable, all these things. I'm open to all the different things that are going on. I would say it's a mixture of all of it, to be honest.
That's what I was going to say. I feel like it's usually the combo of both. Obviously, you need the right person to come around, but if you're not present and open, that person could show up and you're just too busy or distracted or not seeing them.
Yeah. And I mean, definitely being present and open was what the pandemic gave me, because honestly, I haven't been in the one spot for so long, you know, like it was just so, everything was so transient. So it was very easy to just drift away from whatever was going on, especially when it's not your number one priority. But then suddenly I was in the one place with no distractions, you know. But I also was avoided comedians my whole life. Like not just from the don't shit on your own doorstep side of things, or even from the professionally, it's like not a great idea. It was more just like, I just never thought that that would be, you know, like a good match for me. I never really met anybody that I like really liked in comedy. So it was quite funny in the end that actually once I met Hannah, I was like, damn, maybe I should have explored this more, because it's quite a good match, you know, just understanding each other's jobs, obviously just being open to like joking around. You know, it might not just be comedians. Hannah and I have sort of like a complimentary sense of humor, and we did laugh from the get-go. Like,
so
everybody has their thing that bonds them, but laughter was like numero uno from the get-go.
I feel like that kind of has to be.
How did you meet, and then how did you start progressing your relationship?
So I was following her, I guess. I honestly think, but it's only a guess, that
clarify,
she popped up
on Instagram.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, good. Not in real life, following her during the height of the pandemic. He's just really out nervous. There. All the buildings are boarded up and Dez is just like creeping out her window.
I was following her for 2 years.
From China to Ireland, back to New York. Yeah.
I love tennis. So she's a tennis player. But anyway, I guess she popped up on Nikki Glaser's story. You know, I'm friends with Nikki Glaser. And I guess at one stage she popped up on Nikki Glaser's story. So I followed her, like cute comic, you know, just followed her, like random follow. I knew nothing about her. And, you know, it's funny because she was on that show Summer House on Bravo. And I had no idea. I didn't even know Bravo was like much of a thing. I wasn't really on top of sort of Bravo. I didn't even know like Andy Cohen was the Bravo guy. I just knew about Andy Cohen. But, you know, every now and then I'd see these clips, you know, she posting stuff about the show Summer House. And in my mind, I just thought it was like some sort of like cheesy MTV type thing. I didn't know much about it. I also did not know this quite successful. So I had no idea that Hannah was kind of like, I guess, blowing up a little bit. She was just this random girl that I followed that definitely stayed in my algorithm because her stories would pop up a lot. Now, as it turns out, she was following me, but I didn't know that. But my stories weren't popping up on her thing, but her stories had been popping up on mine. So needless to say, in July, or maybe like very late June, I saw that she was isolated out near our, I was out in West Hampton and she was out at her parents' place and not that far away. Mm. So because I'm like bored of, I'm really bored.
You're like, this is the pandemic. Perfect time to ask her for a date because she's and probably I hadn't hung out with anybody.
I was actually quite happy with the enforced celibacy of the pandemic. Like I was quite happy to just take a break from it all.
Yeah.
You know? So I hadn't met and talked to anybody since I left Ireland in a panic on March 18th, 2020, because I was in Ireland when the pandemic kicked off. So I was like, hey, I'm not far away. You want to get coffee? And she was like, yeah. And then that was it. It was like a very like three lines.
Wait, had you talked at all before? Like, have you?
No. I checked. I was surprised to see that she was following me. I didn't, you know, it was just very abrupt and very quick. And I was like, I'll pick you up on Saturday at 1 o'clock from the ferry, you know, because she was on Shelter Island. And but then it turned out when we met, we hit it off straight away. But just for a bit of background from Hannah's side, when I followed her originally, I didn't know that she followed me straight back because actually like 5 years before, she was just at the Comedy Cellar randomly during a kind of a transitory part of her own life because she had spent most of her life trying to be like a tennis professional, was a high-level tennis player, but never made it as a pro and then burnt out and decided she couldn't do it anymore and just like got into like a marketing job and was like very much like in a transition part of her life. And she just randomly went to the Comedy Cellar and had seen me and thought I was cute or whatever, but I was going on about living in Ireland. So she just like, whatever. I mean, she wasn't going to do anything anyway, but she registered me at that moment. Yeah. So when I followed her back, whenever I followed her, which we don't even know when that was, she was like, oh, that's that cute comic I saw like 5 years ago. Oh. And she followed me back. But in the meantime, she was now in the industry. But, you know, so like a lot had changed in her life in the interim. So there was a familiarity from her and a familiarity from me because I've been watching her stories. And then we met up, but we just hit it off straight away. But we had a snag, which was that in 2.5 weeks, she was going into the film the next season of Summer House, which was the lockdown season. So they weren't allowed out and nobody was allowed in. So it was very much like we met, we had a few dates, and then she disappeared for 7.5 weeks.
Wow.
So the relationship actually evolved when she was in there. And it evolved, coincidentally enough, like most of my relationships, like a long distance relationship, even though she was only down the road. She was like 25 minutes.
Well, you can't see
she was 25 minutes. She was 25 minutes down the road in lockdown. And she had some stuff she needed to resolve on the show, which, you know, the show is the show. It's a reality TV, but, you know, it is what it is.
Wait, when
but
you say she stuff, had some, she had to resolve with, like, with other dudes or with others?
Another guy. Yeah, okay, she had like a fling. She had a fling with a guy in there. And
got it.
They
okay.
Had, she had to they call had it some off. Reality.
Well, you know, I told her we had just met. So okay. I was like, listen, you know, this is the, you know, this is your job, but also like your life and your job mix because reality TV is just a very odd world.
Yeah.
But like, don't let a guy you just met get in the way of whatever it is you need to do. I wasn't involved in it. At that time, I wasn't involved in it, but you know, I wanted her to just go in there and like be free of the concerns. But we had probably, you know, crossed the line a touch to where that wasn't going to be super neat and uncomplicated for her.
Okay.
You know, for me, it was irrelevant because I'm like, I'm not in there. You know what I mean? I'm not locked in a house. But right. But for her, it was probably like, it probably wasn't, you know, ideal timing. But, you know, it is what it is. It's difficult, you know, because you don't know.
You never know.
TV is reality, except that you're trying to do things based on what you think the producers should do or what you that will look good
it's
on
like TV. It's fake reality.
It's not, yeah. It's not an easy thing to navigate. It's not an easy thing to navigate.
Yeah.
So, That was like a challenge for her and a bit of a challenge for us in the early part of our relationship. But that ended after 7.5 weeks, and then we could just get on with being normal. you know, which it was still a pandemic. So it was great because we had a lot of time. Our joke at the time was that the pandemic is great for the beginning of a relationship and it's terrible for long-term relationships because you just get so sick of each other. Whereas like at the beginning, you can't get enough of each other. So it's like, isn't this great? We have so much time to be with each other. So that was great. That was great for us. But I think it destroyed a lot of marriages.
It's the people who never like being around each other.
Perfect.
Oh, that is so interesting. So the show ends and you two are still connecting during this time. And when was that moment where this became really serious?
I mean, honestly, it was serious before she even left the house because we started talking like every night. So our relationship, like I said, like our relationship kind of evolved while she was in there. So we ended up just like talking a lot, like every night, like for hours.
Okay.
And by the time I ended up going in there, because I was like so desperate to see her. I ended up going in there for like a weekend when they allowed visitors to come, like you get COVID tested and everything.
Wow.
And so by the time I went in there, which I guess was about 6 weeks later, you know, we had become quite serious in terms of talking like every night kind of a thing, you know? So I would say that by the time she was done, we were like committed to like giving it a shot.
So did it like ramp up at all while she was in there? Or was it kind of like from day one when you had that first date? After that, you were kind of talking.
I mean, it ramped up. It definitely ramped up more for her than for me. I had this sense of like she was the one from the minute that we met.
Interesting.
She was a little more cautious. Well, number one, because she's a woman and has gone through the world of the fuck boy. And you know, like
we're trained to be cautious a little.
Another like, you know, comedians coming in to sweep you off your feet. And then, you know, like 3 weeks later, you're like, why is he not texting me? Whatever, you know. So she had the natural caution that you would expect from like a woman of her age. And then, you know, she had the caution of like the show and not knowing what was going on. So she was, you know, not as like diving in, a sense of diving in as I was. But I was pretty sure. I was, you know, I've been around the block and I was pretty sure that it was a unique connection. You know, I was pretty confident that it was a special connection. So I wasn't too concerned, but I definitely had a little bit of the infatuation. If you listen to my podcasts from that time, I was pretty heavy on the infatuation. And because, you know, I'd had these months of like solitude and grieving, and there's like a lot of emotions going on.
Right.
I actually found those emotions quite overwhelming. Mm. I had an episode of my podcast where I was like looking up the hormones of love and what they do to you physiologically.
So was this like something were you like this with other people or was this just new? Like this is something that
this one was quite, I mean, probably maybe once or twice in my life, but I mean, it had been number one, it had been a long time. And definitely this was a strong one. And that was very much the stuff I was expressing at the time. You know, it can be hard to remember now, you know, like, you know, cause now we like, we're married, we live together, you know, just like we just have our life.
Right.
But at the time it was quite unique. I mean, it was definitely overwhelming. I mean, I was overwhelmed and I was definitely like love struck and, you know, all the things that you, I started doing like some therapy because like the intensity of emotions was so strong.
Wow.
And I was talking to the therapist about, you know, she was talking about like infatuation and, you know, what's like energy and what real relationships are. And, you know, so I took it quite seriously from the get-go in terms of like, you know, trying to decipher between, you know, those like flippant emotions that the emotions that can fade over time and what's real behind it. You know, what really is about why this person is special. You know what I mean?
So what did you find out? Because timeline wise, you moved relatively fast. You got engaged. What? How many months after dating?
Oh, like 6 months.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was all very fast. But but the truth was that I knew quite quickly, you know? Now, it was just a case of if she was on board. So she was on board relatively quickly too, because after she got out of the house, she moved in like in October. So we met in July. She moved in October. You know, then we were just like living together and getting along fine and dandy. The show came out, that created quite a lot of stress. But once we got through that stressful period, then it was like, and in fairness, I was the one that was pushing for the engagement. You know, like, I don't know. I was just like, fuck it. I mean, it was the pandemic, you know, so there was just like nothing going on. So our joke was that a pandemic day is like a dog year, you know, like one day in a pandemic is like 7 days.
So you basically were together for like 10 years, right?
Yeah.
It didn't feel as quick as it was, honestly. Mm-hmm. And it very, you know, just jumping forward only to look back, there wasn't many times where I felt like, wow, actually, this is quite fast. Like, do you know what you're doing here? I didn't really hit off too many cautionary periods. And honestly, I didn't hit much caution from like any of my friends or my family because, first of all, everyone loved Hannah. Like, everyone really liked her, and everyone saw straight away that we were like a good match. Mm. You know, like everybody thought that this was a positive. Plus, you know, whatever, I was 45. It wasn't like everybody was like, yeah, it wasn't like everybody was like, you sure?
It's like you're the 30-year-old in China, right? They're like, just do it. You might as well give it a shot.
You're no team bride here. And Hannah's younger than me, obviously, but like she was heading towards 30. So it wasn't like she was feeling like she was too young to be thinking like this. So all that stuff was fine. And yeah, like all my Irish buddies, you know, like my closest friends. I mean, first of all, they're all married. Once you get past the jokes, they're like, you sure you want to, you know, do this? But they all thought that she was great and that she was like a good pairing for me. Cause you know, she's like super sporty, super competitive, you know, but also like understands comedy, doesn't like care if we have to part for a few weeks at a time to do shows. So there was like a lot of practical stuff on top of the like serious emotional connection. It was just like a lot of things that just fit.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, you said that you've had your share of relationships, you're no spring chicken. Like, what was it that you were like, this is different, this feels right?
It's very hard to say, it's very hard to articulate like what is it, but it was a feeling anyway. Initially it was definitely a feeling, a sense of, you know, wow, I haven't felt this way about somebody, you know. And then after that it was like became like fact. It's like, wow, this is actually a great life. Because like, of course, like the infatuation is there and then the love is there and, you know, the sexual relationship is great, like all the stuff is good that's supposed to be good. But then there's just that deeper thing of just like, it's just like a nice life. I don't know how to describe it, but it's just like we can chill together too. And, you know, everything about it is fun. You know, I mean, life's not perfect. Like I can't say that it's all going to turn out to be perfect, but so far, and also just like on paper, it's just like, yeah, it's just, this really does make sense.
Well, I think it's like, you know, in today's day and age, everyone's looking for, you know, that best friend, soulmate, life partner, a lot of stuff actually, which makes modern dating hard, is you want to find someone that kind of checks all the boxes. But I think when you actually do find someone that you feel that way with, you know, like this is rare. I think that's what's the benefit of having more of these expectations.
Yeah. And I was just, it was lucky that we met, and it was like serendipity or Yuen Fen. Chinese love to obsess about. But we were lucky. And like, listen, I like love sport. Like I spent the entire pandemic playing beach volleyball, and then Hannah came along. She's like amazing at tennis. And like, I always wanted to get good at tennis. So we're like playing tennis every day. Plus she's like good at golf. We just played 9 holes actually. And like, so we just have like a lot in common, you know. Plus she goes off and does some shows. I go off and do some shows. Then we come back at night and we're like gossiping about all the other comics and saying who's shit and who's funny. And you know what I mean? Like, so there's just like, this is a lot of good stuff going on top of the loving.
Right.
You know?
Let's hold that thought for a few messages.
Confession, I have a secret about how I've been able to update my wardrobe with only high quality but affordable pieces these last few years. And now I have to let the secret out because they're sponsoring this episode. It's called Quince. Yeah, you know. Quince has premium European linen dresses, gorgeous washable silk tops, luxurious cashmere. And the best part, they're priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories. So no more middleman, and that's why it costs less to you. I know Julie got herself some nice cashmere pieces, and at only $50 a sweater, come on. And I recently ventured into home goods. I got myself some premium cotton percale sheets, ultra cooling, and just feels like a 5-star hotel every night. And it's so perfect for the upcoming hot months. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/dateable for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/dateable to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/dateable. This episode is sponsored by Viya. We all know there are things that can help set the mood in the bedroom, but did you know a little THC could also do that? Yes, Viya has developed a unique blend of pleasure-enhancing cannabinoids, libido-strengthening herbs, and a low dose of THC all into one mind-blowing gummy called High Love. This gummy, wow, it will awaken your senses, increase blood flow, and intensify any sexual experience. I've been pleasantly surprised by the High Love gummies because it is just the right amount of THC for me to have a good time without feeling sleepy. And hey, if THC is not your thing, Viya also offers a wide array of other gummies without it. And everything legally ships in 50 states with discreet packaging directly to your door. So if you're over 21, you can get 15% off and a free pack of award-winning Dreams THC plus CBN sleep gummies with our exclusive code DATEABLE at viahemp.com. That's viahemp.com. Let the gummies work their magic. Head to viahemp.com and use the code DATEABLE to receive 15% off and one free sample of their sleepy dream gummies. That's viahemp.com and use the code DATEABLE at checkout. Take your passion and pleasure to a whole new level with high love from Viya Hemp. Want relationship advice from one of the leading experts in the field of couples therapy? Then Reimagining Love is for you. Hosted by one of our favorite guests on Dateable, Dr. Alexandra Solomon. She is a clinical psychologist, couples therapist, professor, and award-winning author. It is your destination for profound, enlightening discussions about love, family, intimacy, and everything in between. But more than that, she gives us the opportunity to reimagine ourselves, our relationships, and our world. So on the show, Dr. Alexandra gives in-depth research-backed takes on topics like dating, jealousy, communication, commitment, personal growth, and features notable guests from the worlds of therapy, academia, and pop culture, such as me and Julie from Dateable, among other people you may have heard of like Esther Perel, Susan Cain, and Emily Nagoski. Her podcast is incredible, definitely worth a listen. We loved being on it, and we love having Dr. Alexandra on our show. So you can find her podcast, Reimagining Love, wherever you get your podcasts. So what I find very fascinating about your journey is that you weren't looking for this. You were not looking for love. You weren't prioritizing finding a partner. You were in a place of solitude and also just grief, I would assume. What made this relationship really special is that during the pandemic, you got to experience life with someone versus going on dates with someone. And that's like what we often talk about on this podcast is dating someone is different than doing life with someone. I think the pandemic really, like for me and my partner, it forced us to do life together. And I don't even count the 6 months before that that we were dating because it was just dating. Like we didn't really see each other on a day-to-day basis doing life. And the pandemic was what made us so close was because I could actually like experience life with this person. So I feel like in your situation, you got a glimpse of what life is like with Hannah and you're all about it, even though you weren't looking for it.
Yeah, 100%. And like I said, that was definitely love. And I, you know, listen, it wasn't all smooth sailing. Like I can't stress enough that the reality TV stuff is... No. It's very heavy.
Yeah.
And, you know, she really got like a rough ride with the internet and all that stuff at that time. So we had to ride that out together too. But that only made us stronger. You know what I mean? And it was great to be there for her for that. You know what I mean? And also to learn to navigate, you know, because like sometimes obviously if like things are causing stress in your life, especially things that you're not causing, you know what I mean? Like it's very easy to get angry at the other person. So we had to navigate all that too. So we really had like a fast track, intense kind of like life. It was almost like a life obstacle course to make sure that we were ready to actually spend the rest of our lives together. Because we dealt with quite a lot from the highs and the lows in that first sort of year. But in saying that, we probably will have kids, even though I was saying, I could honestly not have kids now. That's just a personal thing for me. But Hannah wants to have kids, and I can also very much have kids. Right. Like I'm not against kids at all, but like I would have been open to either way, right? But I did say, even though I'm 46, I'm no spring chicken. I did say, let's not do that straight away because we met, it was reality TV, engagement, and then a wedding, and a pandemic, and vaccines and everything. So let's just like not have to worry about any major things for like at least a year, but really like 2 years. Like let's just like have normal life.
Yeah, makes sense.
I could have done without Putin invading Ukraine and having an inflation crisis and gas prices through the roof.
It never ends.
Anyway, these things we can't control.
Won't give us a normal life. It just won't.
Just give us a break.
Seriously.
A fucking break.
So one thing that comes up a lot on our podcast is age gaps. So you guys have a 15-year age gap. Like, how do you think that's like helped your relationship or also given it any challenges, if so?
Well, first of all, it's closer to 16 than 15. And there's a few okay. months of the all year right. where there's a few months of the year where it comes up as 15. I prefer that age gap to
oh, we rounded the, down, the 16. But
yeah. yeah, throwing you a bone here. 15, not 16.
Yeah. Well, the age gap is like completely irrelevant for us. You know, I've dated younger women before, and it's never been an issue in our relationship, but there have been times where, like, you know, it's just us and like nobody else, you know, as in like our social lives never intertwined. But with Hannah, it has just not been an issue. Like, there's just no sense. Like, I don't know if maybe I'm immature and she's mature or whatever, but like for example, like all my buddies came over for the wedding and they stayed here in this house out in West Hampton. And like Hannah was with us for the first couple of days before she went off and like kind of was with her family to get ready for the wedding. And it wasn't a bachelor party. I didn't have a bachelor party, but like there was kind of like bachelor party vibes of just like the lads in the house.
Yeah.
And like Hannah was just like in with us, in with all my buddies. And it was like very natural. It wasn't like, so there's never been a sense of an age gap being an issue for us. But I do understand the positives and negative age gaps. I'm quite shocked how much people discuss it because I really think it's not that big of a deal. However, you know, in the case of Hannah, any of the potential pitfalls just do not exist at all. Mm. I mean, we have plenty of jokes. We joke around, and like the fact that like I'm in between her parents and her, right? So I'm actually like a touch closer in age to her parents than I am to Hannah. So we make jokes about how like I talked to like her parents about Back to the Future, and Hannah's like, what? And it's like, whatever. It's nothing to do with you, yeah, like stuff. But in actual fact, there's no, it for us, it hasn't come up as a thing other than like the haters are going to say shit and then we're going to joke around. Right. Like Hannah in her wedding speech said, you know, sometimes I wish I'd known you earlier, and I think about what it would have been like, you know, to be with you when you were in your 20s. But then I remember that I was in kindergarten. Stuff like that. but we're fine with it.
It's good stand-up material for you guys.
Yeah, particularly for her. Yeah. But then, you know, her, I don't know, like in comedy too, I don't know. It just seems less of an issue, like amongst comics. Like it could happen, you know. So for us, it's not an issue. However, I don't know what comes up when you guys talk about it. I've definitely had numerous age gap relationships, and it's always a fun topic.
Yeah. Yeah. And then also you talked about how you haven't really dated comedians before. So what is it like being married to one?
Yeah. I mean, it's great. I mean, that part has definitely surprised me, like how much fun it is. We don't have a too crisscross too much in terms of like our job, but like she's a New York based comic. Now I'm a New York based comic most of the time. So like I see a lot of people that have just seen her. She's seen a lot of people that have just seen me. So it's quite fun, actually. Like we're all just like, you know, we're all in the mix together. There's very rarely any sense of like, it's too much. Like I want to shut off or anything, you know, like there's never a sense of like, she comes home after I've been doing shows and like, she wants to talk about work. And I'm like, oh, I just need a break from comedy. Like it's never really like that. It's always fun, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, because I'm a little older, I've been doing comedy longer. Like I do enjoy like a touch of like the kind of like mentoring role, like trying to pass on a bit of wisdom. But I have to say that she's doing well. Like I would say right now she's like doing better than me. Like she's killing it. So mm-hmm. there's no sense of me being like this, the senior person right. of professionally. I just have a little bit more like on stage. So I just like try to pass on like stagecraft stuff and also like industry stuff where like what's real and what's bullshit. Cause obviously the industry has a lot of spoofers.
Yeah.
Spoofer is that a, I don't know. Spoofer is a word that we get, you guys get. But yeah. What so I just try to like pass on, you know, little things. Cause like one of the killers in our industry is like, you know, getting excited because some spoofer is like, you know, promising the sun, moon, and the stars. And like, it's always good to like try to keep an even keel in our industry, less disappointment.
Right. I mean, I think anyone that dates someone in a similar industry could probably relate. There's a balance of, you know, this is your personal life versus professional life. But also there's a reason why you chose your profession and you want to share that with someone, and especially you if you've been around longer. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of wisdom. How do you kind of balance, you know, not stepping on toes with that, or is that really not an issue at all for you two?
Yeah, that's not an issue. Yeah, well, that's always the that's always the way. Well, the good news about being married is the friendly competition thing kind of fades because her money is my money.
So exactly. Now it's all together. You're like rooting for the other person. You're like, go, yeah, it's like, go, well, go, you're a team, go, girl. Now. Yeah, you know. But I feel like that's the way it should be, right? You're a team. That's the whole point.
Yeah, yeah. I have to say the comedy side of things has been nothing but nothing but a positive. Like even just yesterday, we were like sitting down and like just breaking down like one of her bits. Yesterday morning, I was expressing some frustrations I was having myself, and she was like giving me some suggestions back. So it's only, that stuff is only, yeah, is only positive. Plus she just like, she's just better at getting like industry gossip. So I'm quite happy to, I'm quite happy to, for her to come home and fill me up with all the latest news from all the industry. Tea. The tea, exactly. Yeah. I didn't even know what tea was when I met her. I learned about what tea was.
See, that's the benefit of dating someone younger. You get all the lingo.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You're like, I know what tea is, but I just don't know what tea is.
Yeah, you know? The tea. Listen, I very quickly learned the tea. You know, I mean, especially when you are the tea, according to her, like Giggly Squad fans. I was the tea for a while.
Oh, my God.
But anyway,
so good.
One of the things that I feel like comes up, and I think women maybe feel this more, but I would argue that men do too. It's like in society, there's timelines that we all hear of, you know, you should get married by 30. And you were engaged at 30 and, you know, didn't move forward with that and ended up married, I would say, quote unquote, later in life. UA and I are probably like in the middle of you and Hannah age-wise. So definitely not a shade thing. We're later in life as well.
Oh, I would not take it as shade anyway.
I guess like what benefits do you think there were for actually holding out a little longer till you were in your 40s?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the benefit of accidentally holding on, I would say, because I must say there was a couple of times where I was like, damn, I can't believe I ended up being somebody who's like quite late, not married. You know, like it was kind of like I sort of surprised myself. I mean, I don't know if it's benefits versus negative. I can definitely think of both. You know, I guess the good thing about waiting longer is, you know, you've made a lot of mistakes. You know what's real and what's not, what's important. You know, it's easier to stay calmer. You know, I think it's probably easier to know when you're wrong. You know, I think she might disagree that I said that, but you know, it's just like life, just being older, you're just like calmer, right? I think. But you know, there are negatives too. Like if you do have kids, you're going to be like an older dad. You know, you're probably going to complain about back pain a lot more to your 5-year-old child. You know, energy-wise, you know, energy levels might be like, you know, like if I could do it again, I would go back, have kids when I was younger. That would be the only thing. But what I will say is that like, it's neither positive nor negative. It just is what it is. And it's like totally fine. You know, like I'm definitely totally fine with it. But you know, if you happen to end up in this way, I do think that there will be some positives in terms of like your own, you know, once you're not too set in your ways, that's the problem, is that it's easy to get set in your ways. So definitely, you have to make sure that you don't get too much like that, because then you just become too undesirable.
Right. There is that balance for sure.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I have misophonia as much as the next guy. I don't like the sound of chewing. Like we all have certain things that we get intolerant about. But you know, you don't want to be overly like old and crabby and then suddenly like nobody can fit into your very rigid routines, you know?
Yeah. Kind of staying open and flexible is the theme that I hear. Mm-hmm. What about the people who've been in a series of long-term serious relationships, maybe have been engaged once or twice and are at a point where they're about to give up? Like, I've done it, I've seen it, it's not working out for me. What would you say for those people? What is some advice you give to people at a crossroads right now?
Well, first of all, you're powerless. That's what I mean. Like, the great thing about this life is that actually, like, there's no guarantees on anything, you know? No. And there's no guarantees that whatever you think you want to happen will actually be the better thing for you, right? So there is a great freedom in just knowing that it will be what it is and it will be fine. You know, like there have been many versions of getting through this life and everyone gets through it. Yeah. So you definitely shouldn't panic. But also, you know, don't give up. That's definitely, no matter what age, like dating is fun. So don't give up. And I'm sure this comes up a lot, but you gotta like take it out of its extreme important position, because that's too much pressure. It's very hard to exist in that place where the importance is greater than it should be. Right. If you're so concerned about getting married, then you're like, I feel like it's very easy to sort of rush, freak people out, you know? But I think you better find a divorce person. I think, you know, if you're in the game a long time and you're starting to panic, I think go for like a divorce person.
That's
let
what
them
I did.
Bring their mistakes. Yeah, let
Worked
them bring
well.
Their mistakes to the game. and you'd probably be less pressure, you know? Yeah. But like my cousin was like that. I mean, I'm not going to name her, but a cousin of mine, she was a single mom and, you know, it was a very casual how she ended up getting pregnant, but she wanted to have the child. She raised her daughter. Wonderful. But obviously there was a lot of time where she just thought like, you know, I screwed myself in terms of like finding a partner and having a happy life. And then out of the blue, she met this guy. They only got married very recently and they have like a great life together.
Yeah.
And she really, trust me, I sat down with her many times and like, she was like basically accepting that it wasn't going to happen. So, I mean, you shouldn't panic. You should accept that no matter what happens, it will be fine. But odds on, you know, you're gonna meet somebody, especially if it's like something that you want to do.
Do you mind me asking, like, what was kind of the reason why your engagement that you had when you were 31 didn't end up going forward?
Well, I mean, number one is a long distance relationship. You know, she was living in London, I was living in Dublin. And honestly, we both loved our jobs like a lot. Mm. Coincidentally enough, similar to the Chinese situation, there was really very little bend. In that situation particularly, it was like both of us had like very little bend in terms of like what we were willing to sort of sacrifice for the relationship versus our jobs.
Interesting.
And yeah, and there was a lot of other stuff going on. I actually got quite famous in Ireland around that time. So like, you know, my life changed a lot too. So just a lot of things happened and we did not make it to the altar, although we weren't going to get married in a church. So we didn't make it to the celebrant.
To the paperwork. Well, I
guess, yeah, it sounds like you and Hannah just have figured out how to like balance your careers and love life together a lot more than in the past.
Yeah, but I had a lot of demons. I you know, I stopped drinking when I was 19. I had cancer when I was 24. I've had like a very eventful life. And honestly, Hannah just met me at the right time. It took me a long time to get comfortable with a lot of stuff that went down in my life. You know, I joke, but like, it's no surprise that I finally met somebody after my mother died, because the root of all your issues disappears. And then you're like, well, I suddenly I'm vulnerable. I could be vulnerable. But that's a joke. I'm joking. And I'm joking at the expense of my dead mother, but she had a good sense of humor too. And she certainly had a dark sense of humor. But
I like anyway, that you like look up as you're saying that.
Yeah.
You're like, don't come for me.
I'm waiting to get smacked from the sky.
Generational difference.
I got hit. Yeah. But anyway, I think that we also met at the right time. Just like obviously you meet people. But for me, I know that it was a better time for me when I met Hannah than previous relationships that I had. And certainly my first engagement. And by the way, she's happily married now, two kids. And like she's had a good outcome and everything. But I was way better ready, more prepared than then. By the way, I point out that she was an amazing person. And, you know, long after it finished, I always said that we were definitely the right couple at the wrong time. I mean, I definitely think if we had been more like on top of ourselves professionally, like it might have worked, but it was not good timing.
I mean, we've done a lot of episodes on that. You know, it's like right person, wrong time is wrong person ultimately. And, you know, I say that to my partner too all the time. I'm like, I wish I met you 10 years ago so we'd have more time and all this. And I'm like, we would not be ready for each other at all because I was a different person and so were you back then. And so much of it's that. I think like we put so much pressure on finding this person for us, but you know, I guess I'll go into takeaways, but I think like a big part of it is like, how do you become this person yourself? And sometimes it might be intentional that you're taking the time to figure yourself out, or maybe it's less intentional and a pandemic comes and, you know, a series of other events that cause you to, you know, get that solitude and really take it all in. This is a recurring theme that we hear over and over again, and there's so much to this. I think the other big takeaway I have from this conversation is, you said it, Des, it's like while dating can be important and finding that person is important, it's not your entire life. And, you know, like we do have to balance it. People, I think, will say like, oh, maybe it's unromantic, you know, have a relationship breakup because of your profession. But when you think about it, it's like you've been building this your whole life, years before you met this person. Like, why would you want to, you know, just completely eliminate that either? So I think a lot of it is, how do you find someone that will, you know, one, be a good fit for you, but also fit into your life that you've built on your own as it's two people coming together. And then my final takeaway is a piece of, you know, how do we start to
experience life together a lot more. Like UA, you said something interesting of, you know, when you're dating, if you're doing this like more traditional, I see you once a week, we go on a formal dinner date or go to a bar, you're only seeing someone in a certain light. Like you're not seeing them in a day-to-day of how your life is with that person. And I love your story, Des, of how like the pandemic, even though it wasn't that much time in months, it felt like a lot of time because you were doing life together. And I think the more we can do that in dating, and hopefully we won't be in a world where we're locked out again, but that doesn't mean that we still can't integrate each other more in our lives, even from the beginning. We're so afraid to do that because that's not what conventional dating advice says that you're supposed to do. But that's ultimately how you determine if someone is the right partner. And I know for me, I'd so much rather learn quickly than to spread this out over 6 months, a year, when I'm only kind of like half seeing this person and we're living totally separate lives.
Yeah. And like I always say, very crudely and crassly, that you spend very little time in your life fucking. So actually, don't forget to realize that the normal life shit is the stuff that really matters the most. You know, so many people get hung up on the infatuation and the love story. And trust me, the love story is great. But in the end, the life story is so much more important. That's like Esther Perel, right? I'm literally like kind of half copying her there. But that is
we'll quote you though.
That is, no, but that is the stuff that, that's the stuff that really matters, you know? And I think actually, if you're going to ask to add to your earlier question about like when you're older, what are the benefits of when you're older? I think the benefit of when you're older is that you know that, you know, so it's easier to not get caught up in as much of the, well, like, honestly, let's face it, people's how they look physically, you know, like the stuff that you think is more important is actually less important.
Right.
And let me also point out that I'm happy with my wife physically. I would not like to be misconstrued as I was saying.
I think like when we say that, we always tell people too, like that doesn't mean that you should never be attracted to your person. Right. Like we're never saying that. It's more just like unrealistic expectations of, you know, what someone looks like because of media. But yeah, absolutely. The attraction and sex life should be there. That's a given.
That's a baseline. But you didn't come into this with a checklist. And I think that's one of my main takeaways is that when you don't have these expectations of what love, relationships, marriage could look like, it actually opens up your universe to someone that you would have never thought in the first place, like someone that you in your same industry that before you would have never wanted to explore. You didn't want to date other comedians. I think the relationship history is another major takeaway for me, is that the relationships you've had in the past set you up for that one great relationship or one great love or multiple great loves, right? It doesn't have to be marriage or this one person, but every relationship matters and every relationship counts. We asked you about how you met Hannah, and then we went into how you had a relationship with Xuan Xuan in China, because her experience and your relationship with her set you up for the next relationship and then the next relationship. So it's important for us to understand that we're not wasting time. When we are in these relationships that don't work out, they actually do pave the way for our, you know, the big love of our life or the loves. And the other thing that we kind of forget that you touched upon, Des, is that the relationship history also includes our relationship with ourselves.
Yes.
We are also dating ourselves. So if we are just going from another person to another person and we're forgetting about ourselves, it's harder for us to open ourselves up for love. So when you did that time alone during the pandemic, really in solitude, really working on reconnecting with yourself, I truly believe that's what set you up for Hannah.
Definitely.
Is that you strengthened your relationship with yourself.
Well, you said it, Des. Yeah. It's like the pause, right? Like you were just going through life, not reflecting and just doing, because that's what a lot of us do, you know, we were just go, and that's the society we live in. And I think taking that pause and really seeing like, what is it that's important and sitting with feelings that maybe have been ignored for a while, like that is what we see over and over again, is what sets someone up to meet that person.
Hey, I'm from the Ferris Bueller generation. If you don't stop and look around sometimes, you might miss it, you know? And, like, it's very easy to forget to look around. It's very easy.
Definitely.
Des, love it. Thank you so much for this conversation. It's been phenomenal to have you on our show. We didn't really know where this conversation was going to go. Like, we had some stories that we knew about, but it's so great to hear it from you and your journey. If people want to learn more about you, where can they go?
I mean, I'm at Des Bishop on Instagram. and facebook.com/DestinationVision for people who still use Facebook. And then I'm
we
on
still
YouTube.
Have a Facebook
Actually,
group, so
since we were talking about China, if you're bored, you can check out Breaking China on YouTube. I put it up. It was an Irish series, but I put it up on YouTube, so it's up there.
Breaking China. I'm gonna look at that.
About my journey to become a Chinese speaking comedian.
That's so awesome. Fun. Really
well,
fun.
Thank you so much for joining us. This has been a really great conversation.
Thank you, guys. So nice to meet you both.
So nice meeting you, and thank you to our listeners for listening to this episode with an open mind and an open heart. Something that will really help you on your journey is if you give us a rating and review in Apple Podcasts. 5 stars, preferably. It really helps with our journey, which in turn will help with your journey by association. So just saying, it does.
This is my new favorite part of the podcast, how you can swing it to be related.
All right. On that note, we're going to wrap this up.
Stay Dateable.
The Dateable Podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
Want to continue the conversation? First, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter with the handle @DatablePodcast. Tag us in any post with the hashtag #StayDatable, and trust us, we look at all those posts. Then head over to our website, datablepodcast.com. There you'll find all the episodes, as well as articles, videos, and our coaching service with vetted industry experts. You can also find our premium Why series, where we dissect, analyze, and offer solutions to some of the most common dating conundrums. We're also downloadable for free on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Overcast, Stitcher Radio, and other podcast platforms. Your feedback is valuable to us, so don't forget to leave us a review. And most importantly, remember to stay dateable.